There are many definitions of belonging and its insistent opposing force, othering. Belonging is being accepted and invited to participate, being part of something and having the opportunity to show up as yourself. More than that, it means being able to raise issues and confront harsh truths as a full member of a community. Othering, by contrast, is treating people from another group as essentially different from and generally inferior to the group you belong to. Once these terms enter your frame of reference, you'll find that belonging and othering show up everywhere. At the mall, in the pickup line at your child's school, in the rhetoric of national politics. You can't not see them. Double negative intended. What belonging means for you is likely different from what it means for me. What belonging is for each of us also changes depending on the context. The same is true for othering. The way it feels can vary wildly. Listen to the following mind maps. They give us starting points for exploring belonging and othering in all of their complexity and in your life, work, and communities. Belonging mind map description. How does belonging feel is in the center and has phrases around it. Clockwise, they are alive, a part of something, honest, comfortable, validation, in a good place, invited, seen, and heard. Othering mind map description. The question, how does othering feel, is in the center, and the phrases and sketches around it are reduce, diminish yourself, has a person being pushed down by a large hand, invisible erasure, disconnected with a person split in half, the question, where do I belong, uncomfortable with a sketch of a person with a lump on their head, projected upon, unwelcome with a picture of a not welcome sign. Although the maps only scratch the surface of what belonging and othering can mean, they illustrate that a lot of powerful and important feelings are wrapped up in these concepts. I was first introduced to belonging and othering in the work of John A. Powell. A lawyer by training, Powell leads the Othering and Belonging Institute at the University of California, Berkeley, where he and a team work with folks across health, education, housing, transportation policy, and the cultural arts to make good on the promise of civil rights. At the time, I was working with high school principals across the United States and some of our country's most segregated school environments in a program called School Retool, which sought to introduce school leaders to design thinking tools and deeper learning practices to make their schools more learner-centered. In this process, I found myself wondering how we might support leaders in bringing their equity agendas front and center. As these leaders were becoming empowered by the tools and mindsets of design, could they also use their energy to address the needs of those students furthest from opportunity? Specifically, I thought about Steve, an assistant principal at a Denver middle school who was struggling to engage students and support them in building relationships across racial and economic lines. He knew the status quo wasn't serving the kids. He thought it could be different in his school, and yet he didn't have concrete ideas for how to help make change happen. When I shared some of Powell's work with educators like Steve, the Othering and Belonging framework unlocked an understanding of how to make progress on the equity challenges they were confronting. In simple terms, Powell's ideas made belonging the goal to shoot for. The educators could use their creativity to imagine what would build more belonging for and among the students. And they could be laser-focused on the experiences and structures that were othering individuals or groups. This meant a shift from looking at diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, as a technical problem to be solved through data and numbers, to seeing it as a relational opportunity to connect with the people in their communities.